Hi, everyone. Ryan Dobson here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. My dad interviews a lot of people for this radio program, and each year we select the very best programs and bring them back to you during the holiday season. So settle in for the next 30 minutes as you hear some of the best of the best of Family Talk. This is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Lou Ann Crane, along with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, as today we continue a message on the subject of tolerance and intolerance.
Well, the program we heard last time was the first part of what was, for me, a very disturbing message. It was delivered by Josh McDowell, a great friend of ours, and Josh said that our definition of tolerance and intolerance in this culture has changed dramatically over time, and especially in the last year or two, it's become an avalanche.
It's picking up speed, isn't it?
It really is. And today, the greatest good is to be tolerant of every opinion and every possible philosophy. They're all okay. They're all equal, regardless of how extreme they are, except, of course, those with biblical underpinnings. So the greatest evil today seems to be anything associated with the Judeo-Christian system of values or political correctness.
Well, Doctor, you're absolutely right, because we've all seen time and time again where anybody can say anything they want except for Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, if we say something from a biblical perspective, we are branded as bigots or intolerant, like you said.
Well, that seems to be the wave of the future in Western nations, too. The world is turned upside down, and what emerges from this redefinition is a post-Christian environment that threatens everything we believe, everything Jesus taught, and certainly everything that we're trying to teach our kids. And that's what we're going to be hearing about today in the second half of Josh's message. This is, as we said, a very disturbing message, but man, what a powerful one. What an important understanding that we said this last time, and let me repeat it, that this is a recording that you can get from us at Family Talk that you really ought to send to your younger members of the family.
And they would love it if you just posted a link on their Facebook page or sent them that link in an email or a text message. A little bit more about Josh McDowell. He heads up Josh McDowell Ministry, and he's been tied to Campus Crusade for Christ since 1964. He has spoken to literally millions of young people in over 100 countries. He's written over 115 books, including a few that tied directly to this topic, like Beyond Belief to Conviction and The Unshakable Truth.
Well, we ended the program last time with Josh getting into some of the implications of the positive tolerance mindset. And so we're going to pick it up as he continues to explore the impact that this philosophy is having. So here now is Josh McDowell on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Many of you here have taken courses in comparative religion. I have, in comparative philosophy. And the purpose of the studies is stated in the handbooks and everything. The student guides and all was, you're to take this course in order to evaluate, to place a value on the truth claims of different religions. Are they true? Are they false? Or what? Different philosophies. You can't study that way anymore. Another implication is this, and we better wake up to it. Francis Schaeffer came onto the scene and said, we no longer live in a Judeo-Christian culture, meaning Judeo-Old Testament, Christian-New Testament, that the ethics and morality of society are derived from the Old and New Testament. He said, we now live in a post-Judeo-Christian culture. Well, I believe if Francis Schaeffer were here, he would say what I've been saying now. We better wake up. We no longer live in a post-Judeo-Christian culture. We live in an anti-Judeo-Christian culture. Another implication is that tolerance eliminates justice. Say, what? Yes! Tolerance and justice cannot coexist. Tolerance is the enemy of justice, and justice undermines everything that tolerance stands for. You say, come on, Josh, how can you say that? Very easily, men and women. Justice says there is a moral basis for discerning right from wrong. Without a moral basis to discern right from wrong, you cannot have justice. Tolerance says there is no moral basis. If you say there's a moral basis, it totally undermines tolerance. And so tolerance and justice cannot coexist. Now, for a few months, maybe 2-3 years maximum, you use the, hear the two terms used. But already you see it tapering off. You hardly ever hear somebody really appeal to justice anymore. It's tolerance. It's tolerance. Positive tolerance. Then tolerance eliminates moral indignation, unless that moral indignation is against intolerance. You see, if all values, beliefs, lifestyles, and truth claims are equal, you rule out moral indignation, because the moment you express moral indignation, you are expressing intolerance. That now in many places publicly you express moral indignation and you're chastised for it because you're saying there's hierarchy. It eliminates courage. Courage is good people doing that which is right within the culture and willing to die for. Well, if everything's equal, all truth is equal to heresy, whatever. If all values, beliefs, lifestyles are all equal, what is there to drum up courage for except the courage for tolerance? Then tolerance eliminates convictions. Boys, there's no truth worth defending except tolerance, because all truth is equal. C.K. Chesterton remarked, tolerance is a virtue of a man without convictions. Wolfgang von Goethe said, why did I seek the past so yearningly if I should not share it with my brother? You see, there's an erosion of confidence that truth can even be discovered in Western civilization, and now East. Because God, objective truth, has passed off the scene. Truth no longer seems worth protecting except the truth of tolerance. This is why down in Baltimore, when young Brian McConnell, 15 years old in the middle school there, his grandmother died, and he asked his mom if he could make the tombstone. And she said yes. So at shop at school, he made a large cross. He cut it out, sanded it, varnished it, stained it, and he went to put the crossbar on, and the teacher immediately stopped him and said, you can't do that to a 15-year-old kid. And later the school explained it this way. If we allowed you to put the crossbar on, it'd be intolerance. He had to take it home and do it. What do we do? I believe we need to pursue truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But think of this. That very act, in a matter of months and several years, will label you a bigot and intolerant. You see, right now, most of you are the good guys. Our staff out on the campuses are the good guys, more or less. Youth directors and churches are the good guys in the community. Within 36 to 60 months, they will be the bad guys. Because we no longer live in a post-Judeo-Christian culture. We live in an anti-Judeo-Christian culture. And we better equip our staff, our kids, and our grandkids to deal with that if they're going to survive. Bill, what's the number one verse historically has been quoted by Christians in the church? What would it be, do you think? John 3:16. Do you know what it is now? You know what it is now? Judge not that you be not judged. You think how many times you hear it? Judge not. Not John 3:16 anymore. Judge not that you not be judged, because you, if you judge, you're being intolerant. And most pastors agree with me now. That's the number one verse quoted by Christians. Judge not that you be not judged. We must affirm beliefs so that they become convictions. Feelings and beliefs, you will not survive with them in a tolerant society. We must develop convictions. Then, this is one of the key factors. The scriptures never call me to be tolerant under positive tolerance. You show me one place in the scriptures. Now, the closest to negative tolerance would probably be 1 Corinthians 13, love endures all things. But it has nothing to do with positive tolerance. I cannot adhere to or endorse or propagate tolerance as it's believed today and still name the name Jesus Christ and stay true to the Word of God. The Bible does not call us to be tolerant. It calls us, and this will be the mark of the Christian. It calls us to be loving. To be loving. Jesus said, don't be tolerant of your enemies. He said, love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Do good unto those who hate you. And one of the greatest marks of the believer will be love. Not just love for the body of Christ. So many people make a lot out of that. Well, look, even sinners love each other. The real mark would not just be our love for each other, but our love for those in the world. The sinners love each other. And Jesus was so clear on that in Luke. We are not commanded to be tolerant, we're commanded to be loving. The opposite of intolerance is not tolerance, it's love. Now, in Micah 6:8, Micah the prophet said something that is probably almost more relevant today than hundreds of years ago when he said it. In Micah 6:8, you've all heard it. What does the Lord your God require of you? But to act justly and to exercise loving kindness in all condition by walking humbly before the Lord. Mom, dad, staff member, in the next 36 to 60 months, you do either one of those things, act justly or exercise loving kindness, you will be labeled a bigot, intolerant, and a heretic if you exercise Christian love or justice. If you do either thing that the Lord your God requires of us, we will become the bad guys. Say, oh, Josh, this is too radical. No, it isn't. Think it through. We are commanded to love. And yet if I stood up in almost every church in Orlando, in America, in Western world, and the first thing I say when I walk to the podium is, I will not be tolerant, I'll immediately be labeled a heretic by believers. And here's the phrase I hear. You need to be more Christ-like. You need to be, Josh, you need to be more Christ-like. You need to be tolerant. So what are you talking about? If Jesus Christ were here today in flesh, walking the face of the earth, the United Nations would immediately label him the most intolerant man on the face of the earth, and it wouldn't take 33 years for him to be crucified. It wouldn't take 33 months. Need to be more Christ-like? In John 4, Jesus loved the woman at the well. But how intolerant he was according to tolerance today. He said to the woman, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He exposed her lifestyle as being inferior. Said, that's right. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now is not even your husband. You're living in adultery. You do that in the average classroom in America today, and you'll be labeled a heretic, a bigot, and intolerant. What right do you have to judge an alternate lifestyle? See, we're told to love our enemies, love without hypocrisy, be devoted to one another in love. Here's the problem. Tolerance and love cannot coexist. Say, come on, Jeff. It can't. What does the Lord your God require of you but to act justly and exercise loving kindness? Tolerance and Christian love cannot coexist. And if you exercise Christian love in 36 to 60 months, you will be the bad guy, the heretic, the bigot, and intolerant. See, how do you say that? From understanding Christian love. You see, tolerance says, I must be indifferent. If I see an injustice or what, I must be indifferent. If I see a lifestyle that I believe is detrimental to that person, I must be indifferent. Because the moment I step in to change, I'm being intolerant. I'm saying there's a lifestyle, there's a truth, there's a value, there's a belief, hierarchy. Let me illustrate that. It's very interesting when I share this with college students in the audience. It's unbelievable. They almost run to the front. And the first thing they say was this, Josh, Everything that you're talking about, I've experienced this year. See, you talk to parents, they say, oh. Talk to Christian leaders, oh, Josh, you're going on. This isn't true. You talk to college students, say, Josh, everything that you've said, I've experienced this year. An illustration, 8 students. I was speaking at Fishnet this last summer, a music festival in Virginia. And 8 students from a school there that's not a liberal school in comparison to secular universities, much more conservative, 8 students. I mean, time I walked to the counseling tent, they must have run all the way from the back. They beat me to the counseling tent. And they came right up and they said, almost in one voice, said, Josh, everything that you said we've experienced. In fact, at our school, if you're accused of intolerance, just accused, before you can take another course, and I've heard this probably 100 times this year, before you can take another course to graduate, you have to take a class in cultural sensitivity. Then one guy spoke up and he said, Josh, I'm very committed to Jesus, but it's been the hardest year of my life. I said, tell me about it. He said, I'm an RA. And he said, last summer, a year ago, they took all of us to a conference center for 2 days. And for 2 days, all we heard was tolerance, 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 tolerance. They brought in gays, lesbians, pedophiles, everything. And he said, you must be tolerant. You are to determine, now here's the phrase your kids hear. You're to determine what is right for you and what is wrong for you. And you're not to share or impose your values upon others, but allow others the freedom to determine what is right for them and what is wrong for them and to live it out unhindered. See, every one of your kids hear that phrase. That's under tolerance. Why do you do that? Because all is equal. The moment you say, well, my value is higher than your value, your hierarchy, and that's intolerance and bigotry and a heresy. And he said, Josh, they started out the first day by telling us every hour, you cannot change anyone. Said by the second day, every hour they threatened us. If we catch you trying to change anyone as an RA, you will not only be fired, but it'll go on your record and follow you the rest of your life. And he said, Josh, I have feared this entire year ever mentioning the name Jesus Christ. What does the Lord your God require of you but to act justly and to exercise loving kindness? And it's coming soon where we do either one of those things, we'll be labeled a bigot and intolerant. You see, you cannot act justly unless you can discern right from wrong. Because doing that which is just is living out that which is right. You cannot, please grasp this, you cannot exercise Christian loving kindness unless you can discern right from wrong. Unless you can discern right from wrong. Because love always identifies with that which is right and speaks out against that which is wrong. And yet today in our culture, we've lost the basis of discerning right from wrong. What does the Lord your God require of you but to act justly and to exercise loving kindness? You know, maybe some of you here have never been in a meeting where what the speaker says is literally a wake-up call. And it is today. If we go on with life as usual, we're going to wake up in 36 to 60 minutes shaking our head saying, what happened? Now, this is not a Western culture thing anymore. It's the whole world. I just came back from China, Hong Kong, other places. Same thing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And our kids are being ingrained in it. Students in elementary, junior high, high school, universities. And you take what I have said today, and you listen carefully to people's conversations around you, young people and all. It'll start to fit into a pattern. And I have so many parents say to me 2-3 weeks after they hear me speak, Josh, I can't believe it. It was like a puzzle coming together. As I started to look at my own life, my own feelings and everything, you nailed it. We are facing one of the greatest challenges. And one reason it's one of the greatest challenges is that it's so subtle. And do you understand what I'm saying here? This undermines everything that we believe in. You talk about prayer all you want. We can talk about revival. We can talk about evangelism, everything. But if we let the basis of truth erode, everything erodes with it in the lives of our children. This is why youth workers now, I'm hearing something I've never heard before. Bill, I'm hearing this. Most youth workers and things, you'd hear this. Well, if we don't resolve this, we are going to lose this generation. Now I'm hearing this. Josh will not only lose this generation, we will have already lost the next generation. Take to heart what I've shared.
And I do hope we all will take to heart what we have just heard from Mr. Josh McDowell today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Dr. Dobson, Ryan, as I shared earlier, Josh has spoken to millions of people around the world. He obviously has a gift for evaluating what's going on in these current times.
Well, I certainly hope that young people have been listening to what he has to say, because it is so important to this generation.
Well, Luann and Ryan, I'm reminded of a reference to the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Chronicles 12 that says, quote, they understood the times and knew what to do. You know, there are those who do have a clear perspective on culture, what direction it's moving and what the implications are of it, and what's occurring and what's happening. I believe Josh McDowell is one of them.
Yes.
And frankly, I don't want this to be self-serving, but this is an area where I have very strong convictions too, because if you just keep your eyes open and watch, you'll hear it in the media, in the popular culture, in the literature, in what the kids say, what the older people say. It's out there. You can't miss it if you're listening. I recently wrote a novel with Kurt Bruner. It's called Fatherless, and it will actually be a trilogy when we get finished with them. The titles are Fatherless, Childless, and Godless. And they outline what our society will look like in 30 years if current demographic trends continue. And they're certain to do so because, you know, 55 million babies have been aborted in the last 40 years, and they can't be replaced. So where we are now is where we're going, and it does apply to this issue. I hope there are some other sons of Issachar out there who are paying attention.
Well, me too. It really is a great book, and you can see the progression in our society as you're reading it. If we're moving towards a post-Christian society where people don't recognize or acknowledge right and wrong, good and evil, and there's no internal restraint that comes from knowing there is a God, and that the wages of sin are death, and that there are consequences for misbehavior, there really is no stopping us.
Well, as you can see, we feel strongly about this issue, and here in the close, let me just point you to a couple of books. The first would be Fatherless, Doctor, which I just finished at midnight the other night.
Did you really?
Thank you for keeping me up. I highly recommend that. We have that available at drjamesdobson.org, as well as Josh McDowell's book, Beyond Belief to Convictions, What You Need to Know to Help Youth Stand Strong in the Face of Today's Culture.
You know, Luann, the title, Fatherless, implies that it's the same kind of book that I've written. I've written 82 books, and they've all been nonfiction. So you would get the implication from Fatherless that I'm talking about how to cope with dads not being there and why fathers should continue to make their contribution to the family. But it's really not about that. It's what a world will look like when there are fewer and fewer committed dads. We already have 40% of the babies born today are born out of wedlock. And for the African-American community, it's over 70%. So this is the meaning of fatherless.
Well, it is a chilling account, Doctor, but it really puts it into perspective in a way that people will be able to grasp.
You can find both of those resources online at drjamesdobson.org, or when you call us, our number is 877-732-6825, and ask about how you can become an integral part of our ministry with your prayers and finances. We can't do what we do without the help of our listeners. Again, you can donate online at drjamesdobson.org, or one last time, our number is 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for being with us these past 2 days, and we do invite you to come back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. This is Ryan Dobson of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you've never donated to our ministry, now is the perfect time to start, because some amazing friends of ours have pledged to match every year-end gift dollar for dollar. And if you're one of our regular supporters, it's still a great time to take advantage of the matching program and donate towards the fight for the family. You can do so online at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk app, our Facebook page, or by calling us 877-732-6825.